Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of 12th hour apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation of Mount Zion at the 12th hour in Elgin, Texas. Today is September the 22nd, 2024, or as the 20th day of Tishri, 2028. We will start our first service today with this new title, A Man on a White Horse, by the Ben Roden. He's a descendant of Dixie Hollow from 1955. He wrote this, compiled this on September the 22nd, 1965. And 10 years after Dixie Hollow died. So it says, man on a wild horse, joining the two sticks of the two houses of Israel. Jim thought, for the disciples of Yahshua were looking for the immediate coming of the kingdom of his glory. But in the giving of them this prayer, Yahshua taught that the kingdom was not then to be established. They were to pray for his coming as an event yet future. But the petition was also an assurance unto them. While they were not to behold the coming of the kingdom in their day, the fact that Yahshua bade them pray for it is evidence that in the Yahweh's own time it will surely come. That's the thought taken from Mount of Blessing by Ellen G. White, page 159. Aim. Our study is found in Ezekiel 37:15-28, and includes the supporting Bible text and statements from other inspired writings, where the purpose of this study is to disclose to view Yahweh's true Israel and his large God church combined with the fulfillment of his promise unto Abraham to give his seed the land of Palestine, read Genesis 12:1-4, Hebrews 11:8-10, and Acts 6:1-5. For the destruction of Gog and blessings to Israel. Yahweh is to use the nation of Gog as an example of his wrath of destruction on the heathen nations who are not converted, and his protecting care for his people Israel, and thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, and I shall be sanctified in thee, O God, before their eyes. Ezekiel 30, verse 16. After many days thou shalt be visited, in the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is headed out of many people against the mountains of Israel. Okay. Which have been always waste. It says that it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely all of them, Ezekiel 38:8. Israel shall land like Eden. And they shall say, this land that was destined to become like the Garden of Eden. And their waste and desert and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Yahweh, build the ruined places and plant the that was desolate. For I, the Yahweh, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus saith the Yahweh, I will yet for this being part of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with them like a flock. Ezekiel 36:35-37. For the prophet Jeremiah says, in the latter days you shall consider it perfectly. Jeremiah 23:20. Isaiah says it is in the last days, Isaiah 2:2-4. And Micah says the same, read Micah 4:1-8. Telling of this event, Ellen G. White explains it by the Moses experience. Moses saw the chosen people established in Canaan, each of the tribes in its own possession. Patriarchs and Prophets 4:75. And now, a panoramic view of the land of promise was presented unto him. Every part of the country was spread out before him. Not faint and uncertain in the dim distance, but standing out clear, distinct, and beautiful to his delighted vision. In this scene, it was presented not as it then appeared, but as it would become with the Yahshua's blessing upon it in the possession of Israel. He seemed to be looking upon a second Eden. Patriarchs and Prophets 4:72. Pamphia says, for this statement by the Ellen G. White is in the perfect agreement with the Ezekiel 36:35, which shows the land of the Palestine is become like Eden before probation closes for the world. So I said, I'll read that last line again. You will please note that Ezekiel says the Yahweh will build up the ruined places. Actually, Yahshua the Son will build up the ruined places. Joining the two sticks on page 2. Verse 16, one stick, the prophecy verses 15-26 is undated, but it was probably given shortly after the vision of verses 1-14. The two are closely related, for the divided nations of the Israel were to be reunited and placed under or with the beneficent rule of the antithetical David. Verse 21. Will gather them for the restoration of the Israel from the captivity among the heathen was the first step in the fulfillment of the divine promises. This remnant was to be to consist of those who had profited from the discipline of the exile and had become spiritually pure. Since the prerequisite revival was never attained, either before or after the return with the Zerubbabel, with the fulfillment of these promises, it was prevented. For the Yahshua did for Israel all that the obdurate disobedience would allow him to do, but they remained rebellious. Therefore, eventually he had to reject them utterly for the unfolding of the divine karma. It says here, and in the following verses, applies to the picture as it would have been if Yahweh's purposes had been carried out. SJA Bible Commentary, Volume 4, page 701. For the glorious destiny that might have blessed Jerusalem as she accepted her Redeemer rose before the Son of Yahweh, he saw that she might through him have been healed of her grievous malady, liberated from bondage, and established as a mighty metropolis of the earth. From her walls, the dove of peace would have gone forth unto all nations. She would have been the world's diadem of glory. Desire of Ages 577. It said, that which Yahweh purposed to do for the world through Israel, the chosen nation, he will finally accomplish through his church on earth today. Prophets in Genesis 7:13-14. For the Yahshua is coming to establish his kingdom on the earth. Volume 9, page 63. Joining the two sticks, page 3. They gather themselves together. They come unto thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, for the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Isaiah 60, verse 4 and 5. Our watchmen shall lift up the voice, that the voice together shall they sing. For they shall see eye to eye when the Yahshua shall bring again Zion. Isaiah 52:8. Ezekiel 37, verse 22. One king shall be king. And verse 24 is described as being the antitypical David, my servant. SJA Bible Commentary, Volume 4, page 701. Verse 26. Multiply them. This would have resulted from the natural increase of the population and from the influx on and through the diligent missionary activities let us remember that David of the old reigned around 1000 B.C. For this prophecy, God to Ezekiel was given about 575 B.C., which was over 400 years after the David's time. And yet Ezekiel declares David is to reign sometime in the future from the Jewish captivity in Babylon. Since the David had been in the grave for many years, Ezekiel must have been speaking of the antitypical David who is to be the king of Israel when the Gentiles are to see her righteousness and glory in the last days. When the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Yahweh from Jerusalem, and the time of the loud cry, Micah 4:3. Joining the two sticks, page 4. Of the desolate land of the Palestine, which will become like the Eden, while the heathen nations are still left round about, Yahweh does this in order to teach the world of his ability to save and to bless his holy flock, and they shall know that I am the Yahshua, Ezekiel 36:38. unto his people who have not known about this promise of the Yahshua to do it for them. And this life, the Yahshua says, I will yet for this be imparted by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. Ezekiel 36:37. Israel in the last days, where the word of Yahshua came again unto me, said, moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel his companion. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel his companion. Ezekiel 37:15-16. Anciently, the Yahshua commanded Moses to write the names of each of the 12 tribes of Israel. Let's do that again. Anciently, Yahweh commanded Moses to write the names of each of the 12 tribes of Israel on a rod or a stick, and lay them up before the Yahweh in the tabernacle of the witness, number 17:7. Here the Yahweh commands Ezekiel to write on one stick for Judah the 2 tribes of the southern kingdom, and another stick for the Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, the 10 northern tribes, and join them one to another into the one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. Ezekiel 37:17. For the Bible students are familiar with how shortly after the death of Solomon, the 12 tribes of Israel were divided, making 2 kingdoms. The sticks representing these 2 nations were to be joined, making one stick in Ezekiel's hand. Consequently, since the sticks were not joined in the hand of Ezekiel of old, in a captivity in the ancient Babylon, it must be that antitypical Ezekiel is to accomplish the task in our days. Therefore, let us consider what the Bible has to say about the way the literal sticks are joined, which is a figure of the joining of the 2 kingdoms of the Israel. Hence, and I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph, and I will bring them again to face them, for I will have mercy upon them, and they shall be as though I had not cast them off, for I am the Yahshua, their Savior and Redeemer, and will hear them. Zechariah 10:6. Here is the Yahshua's promise to strengthen Judah and to save Joseph, placing them in their own land, never again to cast them off. Judah is his lawgiver, Yahshua is Shiloh. That's in Genesis 49:10. For a scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and unto him shall the judgment of the people be. For the Yahshua also shall save the tents of Judah first, Zechariah 12:7. For the tents of the common people, the spirit of the prophet declared, from this time of the salvation to the brother, everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, the new and living way, Hebrews 10:19-20, parenthesis gospel, shall be presented in its fullness unto the Jews. Many will accept the Yahshua as the Messiah. And the closing proclamation teaching of the Father's salvation to the brother everlasting covenant, parentheses, the gospel, when a special work is to be done for a forecast of the people here to see the aggression, whether God sure expects his messages to take particular interest in the Jewish people whom they find in all parts of the earth, as the Old Testament scriptures are blended with the new and the explanation of the Yahweh's eternal purpose. This will be to many of the Jews as the dawn of a new creation. For the resurrection of the soul, as they see the share of the gospel dispensation portrayed in the pages of the Old Testament scriptures, and to see how clearly the New Testament explains the Old, their slumbering facilities will be aroused, and they will recognize Yahshua as the Savior of the world. Many will, by the faith, receive Yahshua as their Redeemer. This is talking about the Jews. Among the Jews are some who, like the Saul of Tarsus, are mighty in the scriptures, and those who proclaim with the wonderful power the immutability of the law of the Yahshua, John 15:10. Yahshua said to his disciples, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Well, commandments are more than just the statutes and judgments in the sanctuary system. Commandments are everything that Father and Son commanded. Among the Jews are some who like, okay, that's it. Yahshua Israel will bring this to pass in our day. His arm is not short that it cannot save. Exodus Apostle 380. Joining the two sticks, page 5. As a time, or at the time that this statement was written, the gospel or the plan of the salvation to the bread of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua has not been presented in its fullness, since the Acts of the Apostles was copyrighted, and 91, it is quite obvious that this statement, for the Acts of the Apostles was copyrighted in 1911, it is quite obvious that this statement must have been written sometime after 1888. Let us now present the gospel unto the Jews in its fullness. In other words, let's present the teaching of the power of salvation of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua in a new and living way, Hebrews 10:19-20. And then teach that to the Jews, and there are Jews that will accept it in the fullness. For the Apostle Paul states, "For if thou wert cut out of the auditory, that is borrowed by the nation, and wert drafted as contrary of the nation into a good auditory." Now, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own auditory? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened unto Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles did come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away unrighteousness from the Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, and I shall take away their sin. As concerning the preaching of the plan of salvation through the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, the new and living way, Hebrews 10:19-20. The gospel, they are the enemy for your sake. So as touching the election, which would be the 144,000 today, that's your election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. Romans 11:24-28. Here it is shown that the Jews are to be grafted back into their own olive tree. For the time has come when the Jews are to be given light. For the Yahshua wants us to encourage and sustain men who shall labor in the right lines for this people, for there are to be a multitude convinced of the truth who will take their position for the Yahweh, for the time is coming when there will be as many converted in a day as there were on the day of the Pentecost, after the disciples had received the Holy Spirit. Review and Herald, June 29, 1905. It has been a strange thing to me that there were so few who felt a burden to labor for the Jewish people. Memory will be awakened as Yahshua is seen portrayed in the pages of the Old Testament. Souls will be saved from the Jewish nation as the doors of the New Testament are unlocked. For the key of the Old Testament, with the key of the Old Testament, for Yahshua will be recognized as the Savior of the whole world for the past 6,000 years, as it is seen how clearly the New Testament explains the Old. Many of the Jewish people will by the faith receive Yahshua as their Redeemer. Letter 47, 1903. Converted Jews in the closing word. There will be many converted from among the Jews, and these converts will aid in the preparing the way of the Yahshua and making straight in the desert a highway for our Yahshua. Converted Jews are to have an important part to act in the great preparation further to be made in the future to receive Yahshua our Prince. A nation shall be born in a day. How? By men whom the Yahshua has appointed being converted to the truth. There will be seen first the blade, then the ear, after that the full ear of corn in the ear, for the prediction of the prophecy will be fulfilled. Manuscript 75, 1905. Ellen White, Evangelism 5, 78 and 9. In the light of this statement and the inspiration, let us continue for the pursuit of the Holy Writ for more light on the subject. speaking unto the Jews, Yahshua says, gather yourselves together, get gathered together, O nation not desired, Zephaniah 2:1. For the Jewish people are the one nation that is undesired by all nations. Here Yahshua tells them to gather together in Palestine before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as a shadow, before the fierce anger of Yahshua come upon you, before the day of Yahshua's anger come upon you, seek ye the Yahshua, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment, seek righteousness, seek meekness, that maybe you shall be hid in the day of Yahshua's anger. Zephaniah 2:2-3. For the Jews have become a nation in the fulfillment of the Yahshua's commanding prophecy. Here we see the command is for the nation not desired to gather together before a certain decree is brought forth. They, as well as all the meek of the earth, are to seek Yahshua by seeking righteousness and meekness. It may be that we shall be hid in the day of the Yahshua's anger. We are now better able to understand Yahshua's plan by the joining of the two sticks. Here it is plainly seen that the Jews are the first to be gathered into the homeland and made one nation. Then the gathering of the 10 tribes will be accomplished. Thus is fulfilled Yahweh's promise unto Abraham, Genesis 13:14-15. And I have bent Judah for me, filled a bow with Israel, and raised up thy son, Hosanna. Again, thy son, O Grisha, and made thee as the sword of a mighty man, and Yahshua shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as a lightning, and Yahshua shall blow the trumpet, and shall go with the whirlwinds of the south. Zechariah 9:13-14. After Judah is bent, it is a bow. Then with Ephraim, ahead of the 10 tribes, as an arrow, goes forth as a lightning and a loud cry. Revelation 4:18. Revelation 18:1-4. Let the string on the stick of Judah represent the tents of Judah, are the humble Seventh-day Adventist divisions and branches who are pulled together toward Yahweh, and the Jews will see this victory over Satan's dividing power, and thus they will be bent toward the Yahweh. This symbolism of the Yahweh's elect as a bow and arrow is stronger than words can tell. John the Revelator had a vision of this work, and he explained it in the following manner. In the first seal, Then I saw and beheld a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Revelation 6:2. That's the symbolism of a man on a white horse with a crown and with a bow in his hand. Represents the first man, Adam, and the bow in his hand with which to conquer represents Eve in the Garden of Eden. Here is a symbol of the pure church before sin entered. On the other hand, that's the same symbolism of the last man, Adam, which is Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, 1 Corinthians 15:22-45, on a white horse with a crown and a bow, and his hand represents the Yahweh's pure church, white, denoting purity, restored to this land, and that is will soon become like the Garden of the Eden, Ezekiel 36:35. Read to the seven churches, chapter 15:39-40, by the Vichy Hollis. For this symbolism represents the Yahweh's pure church in the time of the judgment of the living. Let's do that again. For this symbolism represents the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh's pure church, in the time of the judgment of the living in the world, as the time of the loud cry of the third angel's message. However, let's do that again. For this symbolism represents the Yahshua's pure church in the time of the judgment of the living and the 12th clairvoyant hour, and that's the hour that we're in now, since 2002, in the world, as the time of the loud cry of the third angel's message. However, the judgment, or in the time of the loud cry of the third angel's message, however, the judgment for the living must first take place. And the Yahweh's church is there to make her pure. The tares in her midst must be bundled, and the wheat put into the barn. Matthew 13:30. That part of the investigative judgment of the living, which is determined who are to have their sins blotted out, and as a result, be given eternal life, is paralleled on the earth by the work of the angel with the latter's acorn, which is Yahshua, who is charged for the marking or the sealing of everyone in the Seventh-day Adventist church, who sighs and cries for all of the abominations in the Judah, that's the house of David, the lawgiver, and Israel, the ten tribes, making up the whole church of the 12 tribes, and the work of the five others who follow on to slay all who have not the mark seal is parallel in the heaven by the blotting out of the sinner's names from the book of the life, Second Answer, Book 41:2. We have been inclined to think that where there are no faithful ministers, there can be no true Christian, but this is not the case. For the Yahshua has promised that where the shepherds are not true, he will take charge of the flock himself. For the Yahshua has never made the flock wholly dependent upon the human instrumentality, but the days of the purification. have the church of Haiti on its head, but Yahweh will have a people pure and true, and the mighty as sifting seems to take place. We shall be better able for the measuring of the strength of Israel. For the signs reveal that the time is near, and the Yahshua will manifest that his fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his sword. 5:2-80. While the investigative judgment is going forward in the heaven, while the sins of the penitent believers are being removed from the sanctuary, there is to be a special work of the purification of the putting away of the sin among the Yahshua's people upon the earth. This work is more clearly presented in the messages of the Revelation 14 and Great Controversy 4:25. Okay, clad in the armor of the Yahshua's righteousness, the church is to enter upon her final conflict. There is the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with a banner. She is to go forth into all the world, conquering and conquering. That's Prophets and Kings 7:25, Ellen White. And the Yahshua shall be seen over them, and his arrows shall go forth as a lightning, and the Yahshua shall blow the trumpet, and shall go with the whirlwinds of the south. That's Ryan 9:14. For these words of the inspiration tell the most wonderful story ever spoken by the human lips. The story of Yahshua's pure church soon to be disclosed to view as the house of David now. Therefore, brothers, sisters, and young people, let this mind be in you, which is also in the Yahshua, Philippians 2:5. Let your hearts and minds may be purified with the most wonderful promises ever beheld. There is nothing here to lose and everything to begin. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, wilt thou not show us what that thou meanest by thee? Say unto them, thus saith the Yahshua, behold, I will take the stick of the Joseph, which is in the hand of the Ephraim and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. And the sticks wherein thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes. Ezekiel 37:18-20. For the two sticks are joined and are as one stick in Ezekiel's hand in the plain sight before their eyes. And say unto them, thus saith the Yahshua, behold, I will take the children of the Israel from among the heathen, whether they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of the Israel, and one king shall be king unto them all, and they shall be no more two a nation, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Ezekiel 37:21-22. For the meaning of this symbolism is that the Yahshua will gather the 12 tribes of Israel from among the heathen nations and will bring them into their own land, they are in that day to be no longer two divided and scattered nations among the wicked nations, but rather are to be one nation, and one king is to rule over them. Some may contend this scripture was fulfilled at the gathering of the Jews from the ancient Bible. However, the Bible says, they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into the two kingdoms anymore at all. Surely, anyone can see this prophecy has not been fulfilled. Therefore, the Yahweh counsel, turn, O backsliding children, says the Yahweh. Oh no, this is Yahshua talking. Surely, anyone can see the prophecy has not been fulfilled. Therefore, the Yahshua's counsel, turn, O backsliding children, says the Yahshua, son of the Yahweh. For I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city, and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you pastures according unto my heart, which shall feed you with the knowledge and understanding. Jeremiah 3:14-15. And that day, Yahshua's ministry will be appointed by the inspiration from the Yahweh, and not by a council of the committee of the uninspired men. Here also we see that the Yahshua is married unto his ministry. Therefore, since the church is married unto him, he is to be called by, she is to be called by his name. And that would be the branch. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the name mouth of the Yahweh shall name. Isaiah 62:2. For the name is a new one for the Gentiles, which is in harmony with the righteous and holy people who are married unto a holy Yahshua. For they are no longer to be called by the father's name, the familiar name, the Christian, or the present name of the SDA Church, but rather by a new name. In those days, and at that time, will I cause a branch of the righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah, the lawgiver, Genesis 49:10, be saved, and thou Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Yahshua or righteousness, Jeremiah 33:15-16. For the branch of the righteousness grows up unto David, and she, the branch, Yahshua's purified church, is called the Yahshua or righteousness. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable sins, nor with any of the transgression, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their Yahshua. Ezekiel 37:23, their Savior and Redeemer. After the restoration of the Yahshua's people back into their homeland, they are cleansed from their idols. So they had idols while they were out in the wilderness of the people, but once they got back home, they restored their homeland, they got rid of their idols. it says, and the detestable things wherein they have sinned among the heathen. Let's go read that again. After the restoration of the Yahshua's people in their homeland, they are cleansed from their idols and detestable things wherein they have sinned among the heathen. Therefore, the Lord Christ Church, Revelation 14:18, 18:1-4, is a pure holy church without one sinner in the midst. And David, the antitypical David, my servant, shall be the king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them, and they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children forever, and my antitypical servant David shall be their prince forever. Ezekiel 37:24-25. For the Yahshua's antitypical servant David has been appointed as the king over his people. For the branch Yahshua, the purified church, is raised up unto the antitypical David, the king, Jeremiah 23:5. They are led by the one shepherd in the land that the Yahshua gave unto the Jacob. His servant David is a prince over his people forever. Let's say it again. For the branch is raised up unto the antitypical David the king, Jeremiah 23:5. For they are led by the one shepherd in the land that the Yahshua gave unto Jacob. For his antitypical servant David is as a prince also over his people forever. Here it is an organization after the Yahshua's own appointment. Having the Yahshua's leader and an under leader, the branch and David, we are now able to understand what Sister White meant when under or with the influence of the inspiration she wrote, counselors of the character that the Yahshua chose for the Moses are needed by the president of the General Conference. Testimonies 343, Moses was guided by the inspiration. Hence it is plain that C. Ellen G. White was shown that the General Conference president should be appointed by the Yahweh himself through the gift of the inspiration and not by a popular vote of the people. And that's exactly what happened when the General Conference was made up back in 1863 by the James White, the husband of Ellen G. White. This says, this is made very plain when we consider another statement by the spirit of prophecy. As the people, we should study Yahweh's plan for the conduction of his work. It is not wise to choose one man as president of the General Conference. Testimonies 3:42. No, because Yahweh through his son Yahshua is always appointed one main leader in all ages, from the Garden of Eden straight down to the end of time. Had that General Conference and the church at that time accepted this counsel by the inspiration and cooperated with the Yahweh by the reorganizing or the recognizing that the Yahshua had appointed Mrs. Pride as a General Conference President, and that they would have followed her direction as she followed the example of Moses when commanded by the Yahweh to choose the 70, the church would have been led by the Yahshua through the inspiration rather than by the uninspired so-called educated men who were elected by the people. For the Yahshua chose the 12 and the 70, for the apostles chose the 7 after the example of the Moses, see Numbers 11, 16 to 25. Okay. It says, at times when a small group of men entrusted with the general management of the work have in the name of the general conference sought to carry out unwise plans and to restrict the Yahweh's work, I have said that I could no longer regard the voice of the general conference represented by these few men as the voice of the Yahshua, but this is not saying that the directions of the General Conference composed of an assembly of duly appointed representatives then, from all parts of the field should not be respected, for the Yahweh has ordained that the representatives of this church from all parts of the earth when assembled in a general conference shall have authority. Testimony of Isaiah 9:260-261. For the general conference is to be composed of men who are to be respected and who are to have authority when they are duly appointed. For the Bible explains the instruction which was given by the inspiration for the church and her day and for the Yahweh's people at this time for all time. And the Yahweh said unto the Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee, and I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take up the spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. Numbers 11:16-17. For the remnant church, which keep the commandments of the Yahweh and have the testimony of the Yahshua, the Son, Revelation 12:17, is to follow Bible order. That's the sanctuary system of Leviticus 23. Yahweh's chosen instrument appoints to the executive offices men whom the Yahweh named and unto whom his spirit is given. This is what inspiration means by men duly appointed. A general conference organized after this pattern is designed to call and chosen. This is what Ellen G. White meant when she wrote that joining a revival and a reformation must take place with the ministration of the Holy Spirit. For the revival reformation are the two different things. Revival signifies the renewal of the spiritual life, a quickening of the powers of the mind and heart, a resurrection from the spiritual death. Reformation signifies the reorganization, a change in the ideas and theories, habits, and practices. Reformation will not bring forth the good fruit of the righteousness unless it is connected with the revival of the Spirit. Revival and Reformation are to do the appointed work, and in doing this work, they must live. Review and Help, February 25th, 1902. Cost Object Lessons, pages 154 and 5. So it says that the Division Seventh-day Adventist leader, Vicki Hollis, taught the same truth in his organizational manual, the Leviticus of the Division Seventh-day Adventist. Okay, this brings the close of our study this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour. Call us number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're on close now with a song.